We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We have some interesting fab to talk about. We have a long suspension to talk about. All coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Thanks for joining us, whether you're doing it live or on the audio version. We really appreciate that. If you could please rate or review the podcast, we also appreciate that. It goes a long way to helping us out, help people find the podcast. All very good things. I am Scott Jenstad, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. Jeff, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm really good. Despite being super frustrated on Friday, I'm at Universal with my nephews. I'm being a good uncle and... You know, losing arguments about whether to wait in the line or not. I lost that the sunk cost.
You got out of the line, right?
Eventually.
Those rides never fix themselves fast.
No, except
first of all?
It was a Transformers ride.
It's a good ride.
It's not bad. Earlier in the day, Harry Potter was down. So we went across to the Hippogriff ride. In the middle of the Hippogriff ride, it was down for like 3 minutes, but they fixed it really quick.
All right.
So we had a little bit of history there. We get out of there. We timed Harry Potter perfectly. Nice. Walked right through. Literally, they had just opened it back up. Like, it took us 5 minutes to get on. By the time we finished the ride and walked out, it was out of the attraction, down the hill. It was like a 60-minute wait. So we were already feeling pretty good about ourselves. Did a pretty relatively short Jurassic World ride. I love that ride. Right. Did a couple on the Mummy, underrated ride.
I think the Mummy's cool.
And then we get to Transformers. We wait 20 minutes, 10 of which we're not moving at all. And we fly through the first 10 minutes, and then we just stop. Then we get the announcement. Like, okay, well, we had good luck earlier.
Yeah.
But the fact is they said indefinite. That was the key phrase. So wasted 45 minutes there, didn't get to go on the ride. And it was kind of a downswing after that in terms of our luck. And then I get the news on Tatis.
Was it my text or did you see it before that?
I saw it right about, I got a push from ESPN and Fox and all that on my phone right about the same time. Like, really? We were on the precipice of him coming back.
Yep.
No. And as I tweeted out, this is why you don't do celebratory. Oh, I was the last one to,
Yep.
Draft Tatis in the main event tweets. I mean, that team is viable too. It's in fourth place and, you know, it's smelling distance of money in that one there. If we had gotten anything out of that 11th round spot, you never know.
Yeah.
And not to mention, I would have taken another middle infielder sooner, instead of thinking about that. I mean, the only good thing I can say about that league, at least the middle infield slots, is I do have Josh Rojas and that stash waiting for that stash worked out.
It's funny because your Tatis pick, it was out after the break in the main event.
And I asked you, should I do it?
So in the main event in Vegas, you get like a 10-minute break between the 10th and the 11th round. So everybody kind of walks around, everybody, you know, uses the bathroom, comes back, everybody's looking at the boards. And we talked, we're like, if Tatis is still there, it's been the latest he's been there. And I was like, I think I'm not a stasher, but I think you have to do it at this point with the thought that, like, worst case we're in our heads was like June 15th.
I know.
And we're on August 15th. And A, he hasn't played yet physically. And now we get this, like, It's crappy. How do you feel about it from kind of a baseball angle? Because I think it's a really bad one because this is like face of baseball-ish kind of guy, fun, Everybody loved him. Everybody loved watching him. You get something that you get the motorcycle thing. And then this, like, this is, I mean, talk about the star on this guy getting dimmed.
It's
really
terrible.
Badly. It's really bad. It's just, as someone who loves baseball, loves sport, and loves the young players in the sport. And all, I hate when people are like, oh, baseball's dying. There's no one good and young. I'm like, dude, there's a line of people that are great and young. And he was at the top of that line.
Yeah, he's super fun, et cetera. I mean, I was already annoyed because, you know, how he got hurt, you know, reckless on a motorcycle. And when they asked him, like, he kind of hit it, which crash?
Yeah.
Like, one wasn't enough. The thing is, in his excuse that it was like ringworm medication, it was off just a little bit and all that, it just smelled funny. And to like the Padres' credit, they're not buying it. Let alone the rest of baseball.
I was surprised how strong AJ Preller's comments were. Like, I know he may think that, but like guys don't actually usually come out and say that, especially against a like legit superstar franchise player.
Yeah. I'm not buying what he says to say on that. And no, I'm frustrated. You know, it's people do grow up, and I don't know him personally. I can only know what I've heard secondhand.
Right.
It sounds like he needs to grow up, and he will, hopefully, and hopefully sooner rather than later. But yeah, this is frustrating. Now, next year, you got to make this decision. But the other thing is, they're talking, and Preller is even talking like, well, now we're gonna dig into the wrist. We're gonna dig into the shoulder, because remember, the shoulder is still never repaired. Too.
He's never had surgery on that shoulder. It's always been rest and rehab and all that. Yeah, I mean, my next question I was gonna ask you: he's missing the first 32 games of next year, so that's takes him down to what, 130 max?
Well, less playoff games that they play.
Does that go count against it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, I didn't know it did. Okay, so he's gonna, let's just call it the first month, just to be just
right.
To be,
it's still
It's gonna be a chunk of the season, four weeks of the season. Where do you think he goes in the main event next year?
God, well, this is one thing. I had Rob DiPietro, Deadpool hitter, on the podcast Thursday. They're doing a first six rounds of a DC on Wednesday,
amazing.
It will count for 2023.
Oh, I like that it counts.
Yes, it's not a mock. It's a first six rounds. So I bet you we do not hear his name in the first six rounds.
I bet you we hear his name.
You think we do? Yeah. All right. I'll rephrase then. I would not utter said name in the first six rounds.
Nor would I. I think he's a, like, if I just say he's looking healthy in spring training, going to miss, let's just call it 30 games. I think his ADP is about 50.
Yeah. And I really thought that I would, I could see it, but I'm not going to do it.
There's going to be someone that does it before me in every draft.
That's what I said about Tatis though, in March before the main, and nobody did it.
Nobody did the damn
thing. And now it did me. And I won't be doing it again. I had religion on stashing, and then I didn't. Yeah. I didn't really know what religion meant. And
so then if he's there and he sneaks into the sixth, seventh round of your draft, there's got to be a point to do it.
Walk out of the room.
Too scarred.
Yeah. In an auction, just walk out of the room. Now, the thing is, yes, somebody will get a windfall. You're not responsible for stopping every windfall from happening, though, especially in baseball.
Yep.
Especially in baseball.
Yeah, I think there's someone in the chat, Lloyd, was saying no way pass. I think there's a lot of people that'd be like, 50-ish no way pass, but I think there'll be someone that's going to see. I mean, he was the number one or number two pick when healthy. Like, this is a guy that is an uber star. I mean, projections are going to be still really, really, really good. I mean, the guy was 42-25 last year in 130 games. So that's 130 games. That's what he could potentially play next year. He knows the 42-25, he's a first-round value. Like, who knows what we're going to get? He hasn't played. It'll be a year and a half now. But I think someone's going to see that. Someone's going to talk to him in the 2021 line. They're going to see exactly 130 games and be like, fourth round, I'm doing it.
Yeah. And I can see the logic. And, there's a lot of facts that we don't have right now. Are they actually going to do something about the shoulder?
Yeah.
If so, what does that do to his timeline? When, and when do they do it? Do I do it now? I mean,
they should. Yeah.
They should.
Yeah. And my 50th is, he's playing in spring training. He looks like Fernando Tatis. And I think that'll be about the range if he does. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things that go wrong between now and then, but looking good, looks healthy. I think people look at that 21-21 line, just be like, that's what we get. And they're going to go from there.
Yeah, it might even be sooner. I mean, we all saw how, because look at the Ronald Acuna experience, and we saw that how he was getting pushed up to the end of the first round, beginning of the second round by the time we got to late main event season. And, we should talk about Acuna because he's not hitting as well.
It's been a weird ride. Like, he is he is running a ton. He has 32 stolen base attempts. Yeah. He has 25 successful, but he's got what he has not 10 home runs. He hit one the other day. He has 10 home runs and 29 RBIs.
Yeah. And the thing is, I was aggressively wrong. I had the whole supercut from SiriusXM. I don't want to draft him this early because I don't think he'll be able to run. Right. Oops. Yeah, I was super
That's
wrong.
However, all he's done.
But the problem is he's not hitting for power. His ISO is way down. He's missing games here and there. You know, in the Mets series, he looked very ginger and then turned around and like hosed a guy today. That was pretty awesome. Or was it yesterday that he did that against the Marlins?
That was a freaking cannon, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
And I forget who he threw out, but it was like turn and spin and throw. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And I think he homered yesterday.
Yeah.
Of course,
you know, they played doubleheader. He met a homer in the first game and then sat the second game, whatever it was. But
yeah, and the Marlins announcers are like, "Well, this is a can of worms, but you can't let them dig in and all that because they plunked him so many different times." Yeah. And I'm like, guys, just stop. I mean,
he took about an hour to go around the bases, but him and the Marlins, that's going to happen every time.
Well, and he should do that. Yeah, I mean, he's been plunked so many times, but you know, the Marlins announcers talking about that is nowhere near as bad as anything the Cleveland Browns have said lately. But okay, moving on from that can of worms. Moving on.
That's a can of worms I want no part of right now.
Yeah,
I think Garoppolo is their quarterback by the end of the week.
I think that September 1st is a big deal because of the finances, but you're probably right.
I think Garoppolo's a Brown by the end of the. By the time we talk next week, I think Garoppolo's a Brown.
You might be right.
I think he's getting a year, and I think they're going to make the trade.
Yeah.
Why'd you open up the can of worms? so we talked about Tatis and the Padres. Man, the Dodgers, this team is insanely good. I know they lost it. They got shut out by Singer. Like talking about guys pitching well, but the Dodgers have won 12 in a row coming in. This team is just unbelievable. You look at it, and like the one weakness might be the bullpen, but there was some stuff on Twitter. I was going back and forth talking to somebody like they have 8 starters. Like 3 of those guys are going to the bullpen in the playoffs. Like their bullpen's suddenly going to get really good. If they throw Dustin May in there, he's coming back this week.
He's coming back as a starter. So I was reading about that. And you know how they sometimes have had a starter go, you know, they've all, not sometimes, almost always have had a starter go into the bullpen for the playoffs. There's Urias for that, you know, Maeda, and it's worked really well. I was reading, I think it was JP Hoonstra who was saying that that won't be Dustin May. They don't want to do that with him because he's coming back. They don't want to they want him to be on a regular time frame. He had an immaculate inning today, by the way, in his rehab outing. And
he's like, when you talk nasty, he's the legit, like the first 6 weeks last year, the dude was awesome before he got hurt. I just don't know who he starts in front of in the playoffs. I mean, it depends if they throw Buehler in the bullpen, then that'd be the big difference. Because
snap call Tyler Anderson,
but Arias, Kershaw, Buehler, Gonsolin is 4, and you only need 4 in the playoffs.
Do you think Kershaw's going to be ready?
There's 2 question marks. There's Kershaw and there's Buehler. If it were me and I'm running the team, Walker Buehler still in the 7th and 8th inning for me in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's.
I don't know if he's gonna be okay with that, but like if I could pick and choose, I think that I'd rather ramp him back up for like big, like hard 2-inning stints like that, rather than trying to ramp him all the way up to be a starter. And I think he could be nasty in that role.
Right, and then you're gonna get Trinan back maybe in September. You're gonna get Gratterall back maybe next week. Yep. It's and nuts.
I still don't feel good about a 1-run lead with Kimbrel coming out.
When people say there's a problem in the bullpen, there's a problem with Craig Kimbrel. Yeah. Gave up another homer today to our man Vinny P, who had a very nice week.
He had a big week.
Yeah. Well timed too. I really needed that.
Yeah.
The thing is, Dustin May, so I think he's available in almost every main event. However,
I think it's actually every, I think I looked it up. I think it is every single one.
And you can't pick him up until he actually pitches. So selfishly, I'm running pretty low on Fab. I want him to pitch on Sunday next week and not Saturday.
He's not available for another week?
Yes, that's right. Very selfish of me because I'm not going to be able to afford him.
So you want like a rain out there somewhere? What do you hope? Just a change?
Well, because it was kind of uncertain. Is he going to come back Saturday? Or is he going to come back Sunday? They said over the weekend, right? There might be at least in the main events. I don't think I'm going to be able to get him, but
you'll know your season was meant to be if we have a rain out in Los Angeles next Saturday.
Yeah. Good luck on that one there. the thing is,
I bid this week with Dustin May in mind next week.
That makes sense. That really makes sense. I knew in one of my two main events, it didn't matter what I did this week because I wasn't getting them. And plus, I needed I've got a six win lead in my league.
Oh, nice.
So, as much as another great starter is always awesome to have, it's not what I really need. I needed closing help, and I got that. But it's going to be the last big bid out there, I think.
Yeah, and that's a good segue. And I was going to ask you a little about strategy kind of these last 7.5 weeks. I mean, you said it best. Like, it's not only attacking categories, but it's using your fab to attack things you need. I have one, just an example. I have one league where I have a ton of offensive pitching struggling. I have one other league where I have a ton of pitching and the offense is struggling. Like, I am not spending money where I'm strong. I mean, I'm bolstering. I'm making sure I have a good lineup. If there's going to be guys down the bid, maybe I'll, $4 or $5 on that I think are going to help me out. You always want to bolster your strength, but like, I'm saving my money to make sure that I can throw it all at the categories and stuff I need. Cause that's these last 8 weeks. That's what it's all about.
It is. It really is. And you really need to dig into your categories, not just see where you're doing well and where you're doing poorly, but where can you gain points? Where is it realistic that you can gain? Where do you have to protect your flank too? Like, you can't just give, like, say, oh, I can't gain anything in stolen bases. You could lose 3 points in stolen bases. You got to look at that aspect of it too. Do I need to protect?
It's a really good point. Cause a lot of times I'll look and be like, oh, 13 points, I'm good. And then I realize there's four teams that are one or two stolen bases behind me. I'm like, that's a big chunk of points right there. So just because you have a 13 somewhere doesn't mean that you're good to go there. But let's jump into week 20. I can't believe it's week 20. That's crazy. This season is flying. Look at some good offensive schedules. There's some teams. The Mets have 8 games this week. The surging really playing well, Mets. They have 4 at Atlanta, 4 at Philly. Talk about a great week for baseball right there.
Yeah, it really is. It's massive on the road too. Yep. This is traditionally when the Mets falter.
Yeah,
but
it is.
I just don't feel that from them this year. I feel like they're legit. I mean, they've come up huge in some series lately. I mean, winning 4 out of 5 against the Braves last week, a week ago, was just massive.
And it was only 2 games against the Yankees, but winning both of those always means something, and especially for them and in New York, that was big.
It was a perfect week for the Mets. Yeah, I mean, it was other than being not like mathematically perfect, it was it was an ideal weekend for them.
And DeGrom just looks filthy right now. I mean, just looks insanely good. I mean, I know it's only six innings and 75 pitches or 20 batters, or like, the dude is just unhittable.
Yeah.
Someone asked in the chat if they can cut Tim Anderson. My answer would be yes.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. He's out 6 weeks. You're looking at maybe getting a week or two, and I'd cut him 100%. Yeah, so the Mets have 8 games, 4 Atlanta, 4 Philly is really, really fun. The Philly or the Braves kind of move their pitching rotation around a little bit. So they have Spencer Strider to go against the Mets. So that's gonna be fun tomorrow. That's Strider, Morton, Odorizzi. We don't know about Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright was bumped. He has a bit of arm fatigue, so he's gonna maybe pitch later in the week, but won't pitch at the start of the week. But you got Carrasco, Scherzer, and DeGrom in that series against Atlanta too. I mean, this is gonna be a fun 4-gamer.
Yeah, they don't face Bassett, and who's actually pretty darn good in his own right, but he just finished his start just now because he's very slow. It's a joke. But it was funny. I love the Mets. The SNY crew is just so good. Listening to those
guys. I love how much they've leaned into the Edwin Diaz stuff too. Like, they don't get a commercial. They just like, this is cool. People like it. Let's just make sure that we get production value. They're leaning right into it. They're not talking during it. It's been great. Like, as I think we talked about last week, but like, at the point that the Mets are up and going the ninth, like, I go inside and tell my wife to go watch because she loves it. Like, that's great. Like, it's just, you don't get that very often.
Every single time.
Anyway, it just really works. It's fun.
I love what they did over the weekend where they have him in the bullpen. It's black and white. And as soon as he steps on the field, it becomes color.
They're leaning awesome. All the way into it. It's great. It's what people love it. Like, let's have some fun. It's a sports. Like, we should have fun with this stuff. So.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, Mets fans, Mets fans about 16 months ago had they felt about Edwin Diaz.
There's a lot of Edwin Diaz tweets out there that people are hoping don't get found.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of he's the worst, he needs to be out. I mean, he gave up a lot of home runs, but not only with the entry, like, every time he comes in, he's nasty too. He struggled a little bit, like it was last night, like put a couple guys on, but like the fact that we could say he struggled a little bit and still didn't give up any runs tells you all need to know right there.
Yeah, and it's against the Phillies who, they're a good lineup too. And so they're battling him. And granted, it was without Schwarber. Schwarber, this is kind of an underrated thing to kind of watch for this week with him. Might be a tough decision whether or not to start him.
It's a calf, right? And he pinch hit Saturday and then sat. So he sat 2 days, but he pinch hit one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
calf injuries are nasty.
Yeah, at least he's not a speed guy, but still needs to plant and swing, and that's never great there. But yeah,
he's got some speed. He has some stolen bases this year.
How many stolen bases? Yeah,
he's got like six. I want to say it's six.
I will admit that I regrettably do not have him anywhere after having him everywhere the last couple of years. You're right. He has six after one in 2021, one in 2020. He has six this year. Wow.
Yeah.
You know what's quiet about him though, and I always forget he's only hitting .211.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
He had .265 last year.
Yeah. So it could be even better, but I think you'll take that trade off of 71 runs, 69 yeah. RBI, and 34 homers.
Oh, where
and six stolen bases. Yeah.
Where he was drafted, yeah, you're giving me that all day. But the .211 is a little lower. And every time I look at him, I'm always a little surprised by it. I know he had a really bad July. I think he had like .125 in July. So that probably was the.
Because his hot streak was 2 months long. It was May and June this year. He's still got a .314 on base because of that. He's walked 59 times. So he's not hurting the Phillies at all. That's for sure.
We had a question in the chat from Lloyd. Are you starting Strider and Morton this week for two steps? They get the Mets and Houston. I am. It's a tough two step, but I am starting it 100. Those two guys, I'm starting for sure. I'm not even thinking about it very long, to be honest.
I'm definitely starting Strider because you know you're getting the K's every time. Morton, I might be a little bit more trepidatious with, but chances are I don't have a better option. It's two starts. Yeah, I'll probably do it. I mean, if I can start Miles Michaelis. I do not like the cone of shame in Colorado. I mean, and still live to tell the tale. I'm going to do it with these guys.
Yeah. And the weird thing in Morton is he's either been like really good or really bad lately. He's even like 4 or 5 runs or 0 runs. There's like very little in between, but with two starts with Morton, I'm just throwing that. He's good enough that he's just, I know the matchups are tough, but I'm no way I'm sitting those two starts.
Yes. MS hold Jose Miranda's corner. Yeah. I'm holding him. I think he's really good. Yeah, I know he's got some up ebbs and flows, but I think you get a lot of upside with that.
Yeah, he's hitting .280 with 11 home runs. I'm all keeping that. I think he plays a bunch down the stretch too. I'm holding it too. Some other good schedules. I like Cleveland a lot this week. They have a 4 against Detroit, 3 against the White Sox. The Padres, we talked about Tatis earlier. They have 3 at Miami and then 4 against Washington. Some really good pitching matchups there. Mm-hmm. Although I think they do face Alcantara. I think they do. They do face Alcantara tomorrow. But they get 4 against Washington, and Washington is just a disaster right now. And the Giants. The Giants have 4 against Arizona. Always love that. Facing those pitchers, they get 3 at Colorado. That's a really good week. And Giants starters are always, you know, tough because they do so much platooning that it's hard to figure out exactly what to do. But they do face 5 righties this week. So at least you know that you have a pretty decent lean on the right-hand side. So you can start the Lamont Wade. I like Brandon Belt a lot this week. So those lefties on the Giants are a really good play this week, I think.
Yep. Bad week for Wilmer Flores, on the other hand, though.
Yeah. Is JD Davis playing only against lefties?
Honestly, I don't have any JD Davis in my life. And the Giants are so milquetoast and boring this year that I haven't really paid attention too much.
He's had some big moments for them, but I think it's pretty much strict platoon. So, you know, he's not going to sit 5 games this week, but I think if he sits, he probably sits 3, and that makes him really difficult to play despite, doing a little bit of good work when he has played.
Well, the problem is, you know, it's both Davis and Longo. I mean, you got 2 right-handed hitters.
Yeah, Longo hasn't played. He's been sitting a lot since he came back, too. They just have a lot. They have a lot of moving parts there.
Yep.
Let's jump into Fab. I thought it was a more interesting Fab week than it has been a couple weeks. There were some pitchers. There were some hitters. Let's start with hitters. We just start with starters. I'm going to flip it around a little bit. Start with hitters. Vaughn Grissom was the biggest name, I think, as I was looking through leagues. He was called up by the Braves straight from Double-A. He's been really good in Double-A, both power and speed. Of course, his first game in Fenway has a home run and a stolen base just to add to the to the hype, but 14
and not just a home run, but out of the stadium home run
with a bat flip on it, like that was a bomb.
Yeah,
14 home runs, 27 stolen bases, hit well over .300 across A and Double A. His hit for high average across the minor leagues in 2019, 2021, and this year, so like looks really good. Question is, A, when does Ozzie Albies come back? You know, how long does he have? How long is his leash? You know, B, do they play him? Does he, you know, get that first time up in the major, strike out a bunch, but doesn't strike out? Very low strikeout numbers in the minors, like under 15%. How aggressive were you on Grissom? I know you don't have a ton of money in your leagues, but like, how'd you feel about him as a call-up this week?
I felt pretty good about him because I do give the Braves trust. I mean, I feel like they've earned it there. That when they've decided to call guys up, it usually it sticks. That said, I am 0 for whatever number of leagues that we were in so far that I've had the Fab results from. 0 for 5 in NFBC universe leagues with scarf left to go. I like him a lot. I just, I'm not getting him anywhere. In one of my mains, it was, I mean, he went for 331, which was more than I had.
Someone who had just been had some money and might as well burn it now.
Pretty much. It's like someone, he's not doing well in the league. But you know what? You spend your money, you spend your fab sure. however you want.
Yeah.
But it's almost like someone slapped him in reality. It's like, hey, you got all this money. Right. You know, don't forget to do this. But I can't confirm nor deny that, and I don't really care that much. I mean, the fact is I wasn't going to get him. So right. second place was over 100.
Yeah, 331, you know, he was going to win that bid no matter what. Mine was frustrating. I've mentioned I have two leagues. One's great on offense. One's bad on offense. The one is bad on offense. I was in the 40s for him, really wanted to get him. I was the backup, but he went for 110. Like, he went for 27 in my other main, though. So, like, I could have had him there. I didn't really need offense there. I put a 22 bid in just to kind of – I was the backup. But I would have loved to get him in the league where I needed offense. Just, you know, you're looking for anyone with a spark of upside here for his last 6 weeks. And after losing Sal Perez, I was hoping to get someone. But we'll talk about who I did get later. But
yeah, Grissom went for 45 in a normal bidding in my other league.
Okay.
Which was still more than I bid. Right. I only had 59 going into bidding. So I could have got that. But as we talked about earlier, I had a targeted bid.
We will get to that. Were you looking at Wander Franco at all? He was 81% rostered in the main event, 75% in the online championship, the NFBC 12 teamers. Some news this week that he's taking batting practice, going to start his rehab assignment. Were you in on that? Was he available in your leagues? I mean, those are pretty high ownership, so he might not have been. But how do you feel about Franco coming back from the hamate bone? You think, you know, he's not really a power guy anyway. Like, you know, I know he's a huge prospect, really good player, but do you think he's going to work fantasy-wise for us down the stretch here?
That's a perfect question for you, because remember how we were talking about how I've gotten religion on stashing and all that?
Right.
I picked up Wander Franco when I dropped Tatis. So I'm a big dummy.
Hey, if you're going to go for, like, world's elite prospect, you pick up another elite prospect.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, what's it in Tombstone? My hypocrisy knows no bounds. That's how I am there. Is that a recent enough reference for you, Scott? Did you get that one?
I know what Tombstone is. I would not have known that was from it, though.
Okay.
I think it's almost a crime that Val Kilmer was not nominated for a best supporting actor in that movie, by the way.
Yeah. 27-14. I won the bid on him.
All right. So, and that was in main event.
That was main event. That was Vegas main, where Matty Wood is kicking our butts. And then there's Batflip and Posma, and I'm kind of trying to sneak in. I can see them now, but I'm still distant behind them though.
And the thought is maybe not this week, maybe not the start next week, but maybe the weekend after he's going to be playing.
Yeah. You know, and it was kind of like, okay, if the league doesn't go aggressively, I will at least have, you know, at least I'll as a keep him honest bit. That's what it was really. And the league was honest or dishonest on him. They were honest on Grissom. So,
yeah, I'm trying to look. I don't think he was available. He was not available in either of my main events. I would have bid there for sure. He was available in one online. I'll have to look as we're going along here and see what he went for there. But was not available in mine. But, I mean, that's someone that once he's active, you're slotting him in and playing him every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's not like, oh, who's he facing? Like, you're just putting him in the lineup. I think that, you know, it's unless he – you know, looks like a different guy. I think you're just playing him and, you know, not huge power, but the batting average, great, hits the ball hard. You know, will hit in a good lineup spot. Like, that's someone that it's hard to find guys at this point in the season that just are automatic lineup guys. And he's going to be one once he comes back.
Yeah. You know, and yeah, absolutely. And it's the league where, I mean, it's the position where I'm dropping the, he's a straight replacement for Tatis too. Yeah, interesting. My third option did not get picked up. So I'm not going to say who it was, but I'll tell you later, but
all right.
You know, but it was a stash that is a shorter stash, and I saw him picked up in other leagues earlier. So all maybe right. people can infer from that if they want. But anyways, yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. That was the hitter that I got. You know, I don't think I got too many other hitters. Oh no, in one league I got Joey Meneses. That's another guy I've been looking at.
Well, let's talk. Since you brought him up, let's talk about him. Obviously, came up for the Nationals, has had a huge week. I think he has 5 home runs in his first 9 games with the Nationals. But he's a power guy in the minors. I mean, he hit 20 home runs in 96 games in AAA for the Nats this year. Another 5. He had 15 in 2021 for Boston. They had a 23 home run season a couple years ago. The power looks legit. Obviously, not 5 home runs in 9 games power, but doesn't strike out a ton. Has been hitting the ball really hard. He was an interesting guy if you needed power this week.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter, but I can't attribute because my pea-sized brain doesn't remember who said it, but he's basically this year's Swindell.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good comp right there.
Patrick Wisdom or yeah. Brian LaHare, or maybe you can go with the non-Cub version of this too. But
everybody with your Brian LaHare bingo cards, you've won the game again.
Yes, again. It's. I keep going back to that particular well. It's so fruitful. Yeah, but it's not Mr. Right. It's Mr. Right Now. He's playing every day.
And hitting middle of the lineup now.
Middle of the lineup, hitting bombs.
Fifth every day this week. I think he get fourth one day. Like, I know their lineup's bad, but give me a guy hitting the middle of the lineup that hitting bombs right now. Like you said, Mr. Right Now, that works well. So the guy I picked up ahead of him is very much a Mr. Right Now and one that may not work very well, but hitting the middle of the lineup, Franmil Reyes, yep. Picked up this week by the Cubs. He was DFA'd by the Guardians after his 30 home run there last year. A lot of people loved him coming into this year. I need RBIs badly. I am really struggling with RBIs, my worst category by far. I don't know if this is going to work, but I mean, this is a guy that has a big upside, has a huge power upside, and the batting average is going to be bad, but I can kind of stomach that on this team. He felt to me like he was a shot that I needed to take, and it may not work out, but you can see some real upside there.
Yeah. And it makes all the sense in the world for them to take that shot. This is a strange one, how the Guardians just
something,
let him go.
Something happened there, right?
Yeah, it had to have. I mean, you don't just give up 30 homer guys all the time. Right. But, you know, it's odd, though, that, you know, that they just, they gave him away for free. But, you know, the Cubs should have been claiming him. This is exactly, you find out, and maybe find out why. And you're like, oh, okay, this is why. And
it certainly seems they're going to play him. I don't think he's going to, like, they're going to pick him up and play him twice a week. It seems like he's going to play almost every day. And maybe they see what they have and see if it sticks. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, he strikes out a ton. He's striking out a ton more than usual this year. Maybe he's bad for 6 weeks, but I think they're going to give him a run. And I think that they're, in terms of picking guys up off the waiver wire, he came pretty high to me as a guy that could hit more home runs than anybody else.
Yeah. And yeah, again, like it costs you very little. And, you know, I don't know how much did it cost you in Fab?
$40.
Okay. I mean,
Backup was like 25 or something like that.
Okay, that's a pretty reasonable bid.
Yeah, I mean, I have $240 or something.
And the good news for you is he counts it as an outfielder now too.
Yeah, that was huge. I checked that like three times before I bid too, because I was like, are we sure he's an outfielder? Are we sure he's an outfielder? I looked, I'm like, all right, he's definitely an outfielder. So that definitely helped the cause.
Nothing worse than seeing like a default listing in a commish service, and then you find out he actually doesn't qualify there.
No, I actually looked at how many games he played in the outfield before I even trusted anything else. He had 13 games in the outfield this year, so we're good. I did not want the UT only there if I could avoid it. So it was nice there. I think that I need home runs and RBIs, and he felt like the best shot right now to get those things. It might not work. He might go for 20. I get that. But RBIs are not easy to find hitting the middle of the lineup, which is nice. What about in Boston? Christian Arroyo is playing every day somewhere for the Red Sox right now. I was listening to the Red Sox broadcast the other day, and it was like the top thing in the grid, so I just kind of had it on. They were really raving about him. He's hitting the ball hard, 43% hard hit rate, doesn't strike out a lot. His changes strikeout rate a lot is 24% last year, 14% this year. It's 180 plate appearances. He's played a bunch. He's a guy that you're probably getting a little bit of batting average, not much power, not much speed, but maybe some counting cats. Feels like a playing time play right now for me.
Yeah. This time of year, you're not looking for the perfect player.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to, you know, the most of them, if they're a perfect player, they're already on a roster.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare.
Playing every day and three eligible at second, short, and outfield. Like, that's really nice.
Yeah. You know, he's got a little bit of speed, a little bit of token power, five homers. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't played a ton so far this year, but he's playing a lot right now. Yep. And so you look at that and you're like, sure, why not? Made a nice defensive play to end the game tonight. That always buys you a little bit more time. He makes contact too, 84% contact rate. Obviously, it's not the hardest contact in the world. Otherwise, he wouldn't be like readily available to pick up, but sure, why not?
Right. Someone in the chat asked, would you rather have Max Muncy or Vaughn Grissom? I go Max Muncy. Triple position eligibility and seems to be locked in again in the last couple of weeks.
Sure, I can buy it.
Jeff, would you drop Tanner Scott for either Alexis Diaz or Jonathan Hernandez? I got to ask you because there was a Reds player involved in that question.
Diaz got like the five out save today. Tanner Scott blew one. But, you know, Hernandez didn't get Texas's save today. It was Leclerc, right?
Did Hernandez got it yesterday, right? Did he was just like a workload kind of thing? It was Leclerc today, by the way, yes.
Yeah. Good question in terms of like, you know, usage. I'm checking out the game log now to see. He had pitched three out of the last 4 days.
Yeah, so. I knew he got the save yesterday because I was looking at some things.
And he pitched on Friday and actually gave up 2 runs and 3 hits. So he's probably like, he was definitely down today. So,
and Tanner Scott got smoked today.
But Tanner Scott's been pretty good most of the year.
Yeah.
And in fact, didn't Tanner Scott have a 4-out save earlier in the week?
He could have. I just saw the Braves scored 3 on him late today.
Yeah, and that'll happen. Michael Harris, who is a golden god, had a homer and a stolen base today. He got him.
Yeah, he had a 4-out save against the Phillies on Thursday night.
So, yeah, and that was the last time he had pitched. Now, Tanner Scott. I mean, he's fine. He's got 67 strikeouts in 46 innings. He does walk too many guys, 31 walks. So that's his problem.
I'm going to go Jonathan Hernandez out of those three.
I think I'll go Hernandez, Scott, Diaz in my comprehensive avoid Reds closers theory.
There you go. Never, can't go wrong there. Someone who is another guy who's coming back from injury, Manny Margot in Tampa Bay. Any interest in him on the comeback here?
All right. Can you keep a secret?
Oh, is this the guy you were bringing up?
This is my number three guy that nobody bid on. So nobody bid on him next week. Just to be fair, guys?
He was on the list to begin with. So it's not like I was trying to guess your guy.
I honestly thought we're going to end up with Margot. I thought we'd get outbid on Franco and that we'd end up with Margot.
Yeah. I like that one. I mean, he was hitting 300 early this year. He was playing a bunch. I know the Rays obviously, you know, shift some guys in and out, but someone that was 10 home runs, 13 stolen bases last year and, you know, hits the ball decently hard. I think he's just kind of a fine play in a 15 teamer that works pretty well.
Yeah.
We talked about JD Davis already. What about Enrique Hernandez coming back for the Red Sox? How do you think they work out his playing time with Duran and all that?
Well, I don't think they love Duran that much. Duran seems to be like the mental errors guy.
And not chasing after his mental errors after he makes them.
Yeah. And then, you know, we just talked about how Arroyo is there. Hosmer's now there. So that's one less spot open. I think E.K. Hernandez will, I mean, you know, he might still factor in, but I mean, it's just, they're going to have to do some mix and matching now. And it's probably going to, and that, you know, they've installed Tommy Pham as the leadoff guy.
It's been pretty good for them too.
Yeah. Had 3 hits tonight, I think. I think it's going to be, I think all these guys get squeezed a little bit.
I do too. I had kind of picked up and dropped Bobby Dalbec, and then he got hot for a while and he got back cold. He's not playing a lot. He's sitting a lot when Hosmer plays. It seems like he's playing as lefties and sitting a bunch of righties. I don't think that's a really good decision for them. I think I'd like to see what you get from Dalbec the last 2 months to kind of see what you have going forward, make a decision on him. And like, I don't think you need to see what you get from Eric Hosmer, but that's kind of where they seem to be right now.
Quick quiz, Hotshot. When's the last time JD Martinez homered?
I know he has 9, and it's been a long freaking time. Let's go July 4th.
Pretty close, July 10th.
Oh.
At the time, he was hitting .311 and slugging .493 at an .871 OPS. He's now down to .278 with a .781 OPS. So, I mean, he's not like utterly terrible, but he's just not hitting any power. And
he has 9 home runs and 0 steals. That's 2 categories he is killing you in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's got 54 runs, so he's good there. 46 RBIs. I mean, those are fine, but not great. Like,
not for a first top 10 round player, though, because you're going to end up like 65 with that.
He's really hard to take out, though.
I agree.
I have him in one of the online championships, and my offense just keeps going down. I have like 3 guys like that I was like, I can't take him out, but every week they're bad. And I'm like, I'm so worried about missing the 6 home run, you know, 14 RBI week that I just hurt myself. And it's not smart.
Yeah. I that's the other thing I was talking with Rob is, you know, good players are very ruthless with their cuts. Jeff Zimmerman is an aggressive cutter. Phil Dussault last year famously cut guys early, and it worked out well.
He cut to Grom, and everybody's like, what the hell are you doing? And he ended up being right. Like, he
cut Walker Buehler, a healthy Walker Buehler, before those disaster starts in Cincinnati and Colorado. I mean, it was just not genius, as Liss would say. It was artist. Yeah. I mean, it was so good. I mean, and the thing is, like, how long did we hold on to Nelson Cruz? Way too long. And held on to in our active lineup too, not just hold on, but active. I mean, it's tough.
You're really choosing your battles here, ripping on my boy Nelly.
No, it's on my watch, dude. I'm the one that's creating. I'm making this problem.
Yeah, it's been rough. It's a long time coming. A lot of he's done, and he's made like 6 years through that, but it does not look good at the moment. In terms of other Fab pickups, any interest in these middle infield average guys? Any like Nick Madrigal or David Fletcher in your life these days?
If I'm really bidding aggressively on Dan, no, I'm not even going to finish that sentence because there's, you know, every port in the storm for someone there. But no, I'm not interested.
Are you a Madrigal guy? There's some people who really like Nick Madrigal. I don't really ever get it. I think he's like he has to be perfect just to work in two categories, and he has not run since he's been in the majors. He does have two steals so far this year, but man,
One that was like overturned like this last week, but. Who cares? I'm not interested in them.
You're flat out giving up home runs and RBIs, and it's just so hard to do that. You're just giving it away.
Yeah. I'm not going to start them, blah, blah, blah. Here's your Miles Straw, sir. Right. But, you know, we all have our, you know, we've all made those mistakes.
Yes, yes. Just, Delino DeShields is mine. It still haunts me. It's just, they hurt when they don't work out.
Yeah.
Anybody else on offense? And, you know, Greg Allen had some stolen bases this week. I really didn't go there. I think Victor Caratini is pretty interesting as if you need a second catcher. He's playing a bunch for the Brewers with Omar Narvaez on the IL, and he can hit a little bit too. I know he's only hit 227, but he has 8 home runs and only 200 plate appearances. He's kind of a playing time catcher two play, but I like that. Is there anybody else that you were looking at this week on offense?
Yeah, like we had like backup bids in on Yastrzemski and Gamel and Brian Anderson, you know, the world needs ditch diggers too. That's the sort of type of player we were looking at. Donovan Solano is kind of interesting, but doesn't play quite every day. So it makes it difficult.
Park, second and third, some middle and corner eligibility like that. Mike Yastrzemski has been very disappointing last couple years too. After hitting 272 and 297, he's now hitting the 220s back to back years.
He's kind of my guy. And then he wasn't. I mean, he's just played himself. You know, he's played his way into being a platoon player. That's the problem.
And it's just hard at that point to blame the Giants because it just hasn't worked there. So.
Yeah. Renjifo was available in one league where I had to get rid of Tim Anderson. Sorry to interrupt you.
Since you mentioned Renjifo, did you see Byron Buxton's play on him last night?
Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
It's an unbelievable baseball play.
Yeah.
I love, like, everybody's like, oh, the guy on third, you got to play the outfielders in. I feel like teams don't, like, make it extreme like that. Like, there's no point to be deep with one out and a guy on third because you're not going to – you have to be in a spot where you can throw somebody out. Mm-hmm. And like he actually did it. He was there, makes a diving catch. And Otani, bad base running, but like didn't think Buxton was going to be there. It was a line drive up the middle. It's an unbelievable baseball play.
Yeah. And that sometimes you see players dive and it's because they got a bad jump or they don't get there as fast. No, Buxton covers that ground and got a good jump and, you know, made the sweet dive. And Victor Robles had catches this week where I was like, oh.
Yeah, that Robles play. I was not like Robles the hitter, but that Robles play was awesome.
Yep.
I was very well known in high school for timing my steps so I could dive for balls.
Yeah, I just don't know how to dive right. I can't even do that. I'm such a bad diver.
In games, too, I time my steps just to make it look a little bit better.
You know, for whatever reason, like, all throughout my years of playing hardball, softball, you name it, like I can't dive right. I just don't know how. In swimming, I wasn't even a good diver. But
there you go. Let's jump into starters. But first, a note from our sponsors at the Blue Wire Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We thank Blue Wire for that. Starters, Jeff, was a little tough this week. There are a couple interesting names. Starting at the top, we're going to go to Oakland with our A's, who had a wonderful weekend in Houston. They looked really good. They looked sharp, getting blown out of the water. Their center fielder's puking in the outfield. It was a great weekend in Houston. Literally did. Did you see the highlight?
I did. I saw the tweet about it first. Yeah. And then
I had to keep scrolling.
They informed the home plate umpire that your center fielder is puking out there. Oh, man.
There were 4,000 memes about what it feels like to be a 2022 Oakland Athletic that it just fit perfectly.
That's better than being boring, I guess, when you just raise it to the level of farce. So baby steps in the right direction.
They were trounced all weekend in Houston. But J.P. Sears, who was one of the guys they traded for at the deadline in the Frankie Montas trade, got called up. And Paul Blackburn went on the IL. Sears came up a little bit sooner than probably thought. They sent him to the minors after the trade, but he came back up when Blackburn won the DL. Pitched this week against the Angels. Pitched well. 5 1/3, three hits, no walks, 3 strikeouts. This is someone that has a huge strikeout rate in the minors. He was 34% with the Yankees in AAA, 30% with the A's, but that was only one start. But I think as I looked at him, like some intriguing stuff, especially from a strikeout perspective, going to be pitching a really nice home park right now. Has 2 starts this week, too. He is facing, he's facing Texas and Seattle, one in Texas, one at home against Seattle. So pretty decent on paper starts. The Seattle one might be a little tough, but I think that those aren't ones you're running from. How'd you feel about Sears this week? He was pretty readily available.
He was pretty much my top starting pitcher, except for Yogurt, where Jameson Taillon was available.
Oh, nice.
And I got Sears in that, though, too. I got Sears and Taillon in that one there. But, yeah, my top target. You look good. You know, when I watched him when he was pitching with the Yankees earlier this year, it's like, man, they're so rich in pitching. They could just turn to this guy and then send him back down because they're evil and screwing him. No, I mean, it's just roster management. But it kind of does suck. He throws like 5 shutout innings. Like, you get your 1 day of major league pay or how many minimum days it is and back down to the minors with you, and, you know, on one of those split contracts. I mean, I always feel bad for guys like that. You know, what did you do wrong? Nothing. Just you happen to be in the wrong draft in the wrong organization, so you can't be in the majors on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's a big money difference too. Like, that's a
huge
It's the minimum salary in baseball is obviously gigantic. Yeah, Sears is my top guy too. I think that pitching in Oakland could be really nice for him. Also, with 2 starts this week, I think a guy we touched on a little bit last week is Chris Bubich in Kansas City. Been pitching well lately. I think that you look at his overall line, it's not good. The ERA is over 5. The WHIP's over 1.5. But he's had some good starts lately. He's pitched against the White Sox, Boston, and New York, and Tampa, and has given up – and Toronto, his last 5 starts, actually. 1-2-3-2 and 0 on runs. Like, those are some legit matchups. Argue the one about Tampa Bay in there. But, you know, New York, Boston, the White Sox, Toronto – really good teams he's facing there, pitching a lot of innings, 6 innings or more in 4 of those 5 starts.
Yeah.
He seems to have found something. I think that where, you know, you always worry a little bit with these Royals pitchers, like when's the next thing dropping. But he's at Minnesota this week, at Tampa Bay. He was right behind Sears for me, but someone that I didn't want this week too.
On May 11th, after a 1-inning outing against the Rangers where he was used in relief, his ERA sat at 12.83 and a WHIP of 2.25. since then, he has had a 3.67 ERA over 73 innings, a 1.43 WHIP. So that's not very good.
Nope.
But his WHIP is now down to 1.56. So the overall numbers look terrible, but he's been better lately. And like, as you alluded to, in his last 6 starts, even better. I mean, there's a cautionary tale about selective endpoints here. The fact that he's doing it against good competition is encouraging.
The good comp, and I like the walks are down the last 6 starts too. He's only had 3 walks in 2 of those. The other ones are 1, 2, or 0, where you look at his game log earlier, it's like 6, 3, 3, 3, 3. There's a bunch of 2s in there. A lot of crooked numbers in the walks. It seems like he's figured that maybe a little bit. Like you said, I'm a little bit wary here, but I do like what I've seen lately. And, you know, pitching has been pretty slim so far. Did you jump into any Eduardo Rodriguez at all this week? He made a rehab start, looked pretty good. I don't think we know fully when he's coming up, but it seems like he's on the right path finally.
He was on my list of bids. We're not going to use him this week, but we'll throw him at the bottom of our queue type of bid.
Did you do anything with Kyle Muller? Got picked up or got called up this week, pitched well on Saturday, then back down to the minors. Kyle Wright has the arm fatigue, but they just have a lot of starters. On Saturday, I was like, I'm all in on this guy, and then they sent him back down. I had to pull back, but I do like what I've seen from him. I just, it's hard to pick up a guy that, you know, we don't know when he's going to start.
Yeah, I didn't because of that reason.
I didn't either.
On Saturday morning, I was like, okay, yeah, we've got DL Hall. We've got Moeller. Yep. It's going to be all right. DL Hall got sent back down. They said he's going to be a reliever for the rest of the year.
That was a quick, like, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to research him to, oh, cross him off.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan O'Donnell asked about a couple other pitchers in 12s. Are you buying either Justin Steele or Aaron Civale, Scott?
You know, I'm buying Justin Steele right now. I had him on our list to talk about. He's 41% rostered in the 12 teamers in the NFBC, just as a thing. But what I like with him recently is the strikeouts. He had he had 9 strikeouts against the Nationals this week, 10 against the Marlins. I get that it's 2 really good matchups, but then he had 6 against the Giants before that. I like that he threw 6 innings last start, because that's been the thing with him. Like, he had a 3 right. and a 2/3 and a 4 and 2/3 in there. But yeah, I'm intrigued by Steele. I think I like him there. Civale. You know, I think you're hoping he pitched 4 innings this week and looked okay. I think you're playing matchup there. He gets Detroit again this week, and I think you start anyone you can against Detroit right now. The second one's against the White Sox, might be a little tougher, but I would throw him if I had him. I'm throwing him where I have him too, but I think I probably prefer Steele the rest of the way. He's at Washington this week too, like really good matchup. They're going 6 man, so I don't think he throws twice a week, but that means you get Washington this week and then maybe 2 starts the week after.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. I have him in labor still. I've held on to him all this time. So yeah, I've got some interest in Justin Steele. I'm going to double check, make sure I still have him, but, you know, that team has been just weird. Just so many different, so many guys have gotten hurt all over the course of the season. Justin Steele, I actually might've cut him finally. Anyways, I liked him enough to roster him earlier. So yeah. And Civale, I'm not touching.
I'd go Steele in a 12 teamer. I'd go both in a 15 teamer is probably what I'd do.
Fair enough. You know, the Guardians are playing so well. I get it. Yeah. I just don't trust Civale. I don't know.
I really don't either. It's like, it's going to be hard to get him through 5 innings, which makes him really tough to throw. If he didn't have 2 starts this week, I would not do it. Mm-hmm. But Ryan, I would check the Cubs rotation as much as you can, because I'm not sure if Wade Miley's coming back into the week. So Steele might pitch Sunday. There's some thought that Wade Miley might pitch that game too. So if Steele throws twice, I would definitely prefer him.
Fair enough.
Any other pitchers, Jeff, before we move on? Any like some of the young guys, Cole Ragans, Tommy Henry. As I looked at both those guys, I kind of just moved on. But Ragans is a little interesting to me.
He's a prospect, but I don't think he's really ready this year. Yeah. I think I add him like in a, you know, some sort of league where you can keep him.
That was kind of my impression too. And he gets 1 against Oakland this week. So I guess maybe that's the intrigue there, as he gets to face the A's, which is a pretty much a layup these days.
Yeah, it's not a bad spot.
Yeah.
Peter asked about Austin Voth, rocks the Voth, Baltimore Orioles now. What do you think about him?
I've been burned so many times with Austin Voth. It feels like every time I pick him up, I picked him up a couple times in the Nationals, he blew up on me. But yeah, it's been good lately, but I'm not. It's been 5-5-5. I guess I could see it. Not someone that I was targeting this week, though. I'm just, I think I'm scarred from past national experiences.
Understandable. He's another one that's sneakily been better lately, and his overall numbers look bad.
And suddenly Baltimore's a really good place to pitch, which helps a lot.
Yeah, but they go at Toronto to start.
Oh, actually. I'm not starting that.
Yeah, and that's what Voth gets. So you get a whole, you know, they get, you know, same thing with Kyle Bradish is why I'm not big on him either. Because he, even though it's a two-stepper, it's home against Boston, which could be all right, but at Toronto to start. I'm not interested in that.
I liked how he's actually pitched since he's come back, but I was the same way. I kind of pulled back when I saw the matchups. That Peter guy has a picture there. Do you recognize him?
Yeah, I don't know. He did well in the Scott Fishbowl last year. Now he's branching out into baseball.
Yeah, he was the only RotoWire guy to beat me in Fishbowl. I was kind of bummed about that.
Oh, okay. Well, I think not that you were tracking or anything.
I think he made the final week, and I made the second to final week. He did really, really well.
He was like 5th overall, I think.
Yeah, he was really good. Like, he had an awesome team. Yeah. Let's jump real quick into relievers. But first, a note from our sponsors at Caesars. The weather is heating up. It sure is here in LA, that's for sure. And so are the promotions at Caesars Sportsbook. Today, anyone who is at least 21 years old and in a licensed Caesars Sportsbook state can create a new account and redeem the Caesars Sportsbook promo code of ROTO15. That's ROTO15. The promo code gives new users a risk-free first bet up to $1,500. Visit Caesars.com/sportsbooks or download the Caesars Sportsbook app today. And don't forget to use promo code ROTO15 when signing up. Jeff, I think we've kind of talked about some of the guys during some of these questions here that are available in, as relievers. I felt like last week was the reliever week. There were some there's some 12-teamers where Ian Kennedy was still available. Rowan Wick had three saves this week. Clearly kind of took the job for the Cubs. Like it's clearly his. I mean, who knows how long it lasts, but he is clearly the guy.
And I'd argue Kennedy's clearly the guy in Arizona, yeah, too.
I would, too. He had that one. Melanson came in, but he had been thrown twice. He had thrown twice in a row. He had to save again tonight. Alexis Diaz in Cincinnati is about 50% rostered in the 12-teamers. Kind of all guys we talked about last week, but I think Kennedy was my favorite of the guys who weren't, you know, kind of universally rostered.
Yep. But wait, there's more, Scott, because this is why you pay attention to what your league does. In one of my main events, someone cut Sir Anthony Dominguez, who ended up getting two saves this week. It's him and not David Robertson after all. Or at least I would say, I wouldn't say it's all the time, but I think it's probably the majority of the time. It's kind of maybe it's working out like Seattle's bullpen or Tampa's bullpen or all that. But I think it's more of a majority and not a plurality. And Sir Anthony Dominguez is just flat out a good pitcher.
Really good. Yes.
So I went after him and got him in the main. We did, Tim and I. I got to make sure I get, you know, Tim never gets credit. I always say I, but it's we. And we really went back and forth and discussed it. Like, okay, we have to get him. We had him at six and we went in 13. Ended up at 23. Could have got him for.
You told me that earlier, and I was surprised actually that he didn't go for a higher number coming off this week where he had, you know, he had two saves in the last like 4 days. Like I thought it'd be a higher number.
On a good team too. Yeah. That's it's going to be, maybe it's a tough week this week, you know, opponent wise, but they're a good team surging, trying to make the playoffs. Phillies, I'm going to be watching a lot of Phillies games. I'm waiting for Harper to come back on that team.
Taking BP on the field tomorrow, Jeff.
I know.
Are you going to tune in for the live BP live stream?
I will not, but
I think your point on how good of a team they are is really important because he doesn't have to get every single save to work out. Like if he gets two-thirds of their saves down the stretch, that would be really valuable. And you guys needed another closer, losing Clay Holmes, like super valuable there. I really like that ad. I think that was
haven't cut Holmes, by the way.
I cut him last week.
Did you? You're Zimmerman style there. I like it.
I couldn't believe that they brought him in for a one-run lead in Fenway Park after all his struggles. I just thought that was a weird landing spot for like maybe a 3-run lead or maybe a 7. Like it just felt like for all the comments and it's like, oh, you know, maybe Chapman's gonna get the next save. I found it really weird that they found his next spot, a 1-run lead in Fenway in a big game. I thought that was a weird usage by Boone.
Yeah. I agree. Figuring some of these guys out is tricky on the usage part, but I agree with that. By the way, Anthony Gelotti was asking about start McCullers. Yeah, start him. He looked great. Now, it was against RAs, against a team that had a throwing up center fielder. So
He pitched yesterday?
Was it yesterday? Or, no, it was yesterday. You're right.
It was yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, the 13th, yeah.
Yeah.
He looked really good. He did walk four guys, and again, he's just the A's. But I think that we should have mentioned him in the Fab. He was taking a lot of leagues, but where he was available, he was my top bid. I had him on the online. I think that he's one of those guys you just kind of start out there. I'd throw him for sure.
Yeah, Astros starting pitcher who's proven before. Yeah, for sure.
And I know at Atlanta's not exactly the matchup you want, but I think I would grab him pretty quick.
Yeah. So that Dominguez bid said, I mean, it
cost. So who are your closers then now?
Our closers are Scott Barlow, Ian Kennedy.
Who survived the trade deadline and all that stuff really nicely.
Yeah, Sir Anthony Dominguez, and who knows what happens with Holmes. I mean, Holmes did get an opportunity this weekend. They have, and the Arizona ESPN broadcast made a point of saying that, no, Chapman is not our closer yet. I mean, that they told the ESPN crew, no, he's still got to earn their trust a little bit more. So that means Holmes is still viable. Did you bid on Efros anywhere? Was he available in any of your leagues?
I did not. I don't think he was available. I don't think he's available in main events, but I did not. I did not bid on him. I still think it's Chapman coming up next. I know they said that, but I think that I still think it's Chapman.
I picked up Efros in AL Tout Wars, and
in AL League, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, it can't hurt me. Now, the annoying thing is I got outbid on Sears, so I really could have used Sears more than I could have used the relief pitcher, but. Whatever. I was replacing Spencer Watkins. So, I mean, I can find some, you know, and not too big of a leap to try to improve over that.
And that the save he had yesterday was big for them. The Yankees have been The Yankees have been struggling. Yeah. He came in a big spot to get put a couple guys on base, but got out of it. You could tell he had the big fist pump. You could tell he wanted that. He had a rough outing against St. Louis, I think, early in the week when he first got to the Yankees. So three straight scoreless outings for Efros. Again, the big save against Boston. I think it's a pretty good spec right there, especially with the quote you mentioned about Chapman.
Yeah. So we'll see. And if not, at least he's a good pitcher. They traded for him to put him in critical spots. So yeah, maybe he'll pick up a win.
A few news and notes before we get out of here. You mentioned Bryce Harper. He is taking BP on the field on Monday. I think he takes BP. And I think he starts to get fast tracked pretty quick. I think you're going to get him. You're going to get him before the end of the month. I'm going to put on that one.
Your lips to God's ears. Let's do it.
Luis Robert. We're going with Robert. I think he wants to go back to that. But left early Friday with a sprained wrist. It feels like it's been something with him all year long. Missed the weekend. It sounds like they're hoping to avoid the IL with him. It sounds like good news for next week. But that's one to definitely check on. He's obviously so good. The White Sox, they do play tomorrow. They have a 7-game week this week. So you definitely want him in there. I'd check that lineup very, very closely with Houston on Monday, because you're going to want to play Robert.
Yeah, definitely. And just more of the same if you've had him all year.
Yeah, it's been in between that. He had that weird sickness that wasn't COVID, but it was lightheaded. And then he missed like a couple weeks with that. And it was during the All-Star break. It's just been a weird up and down for a guy who's obviously really, really good. Ramon Laureano left early Sunday with an apparent leg injury. I haven't heard anything more on that, but he's someone who has, you know, put up some stats. The one guy in the A's that's been hitting a little bit. He's dealing with side soreness, actually. They changed that later on. So side soreness. I think that's a lot worse than leg soreness, honestly.
It all stinks, but
it does. Yeah. But side soreness seems to just linger, and it's oblique stuff. Never great.
And there's no 0.0 reason for the A's to rush him back. I mean, nope. Why did they not trade him at the deadline? By the way,
I don't know. That's a really good question. I would have traded him for sure. I mean, obviously, I don't know how the market was for him. Right. He wasn't exactly killing it, but he was kind of warm right before that. It showed
could
enough
be worth
that
Jordan Montgomery, right?
You'd think if, so. Yeah, really good outfielder that he can hit more than Bader. You know, Bader's probably they're both really good outfielders. Bader's probably a better fielder. Ramon Laureano is a better thrower. But yeah, I think that I certainly would have done that. I'm surprised the A's kept him around.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see. We talked about Wander Franco nearing his rehab assignment. Jonathan India, Jeff, hoping to avoid the IL yet again. He has a lower leg issue set on Saturday and Sunday. Do you have any info on if you think he's going to be playing this week or maybe hitting the IL?
He says he's going to avoid it, but he said he was going to avoid it at the beginning of the year too. So, right. Which ties into a Twitter question. Joe G asked, who would you drop, India or Paul DeYoung? Mixed Daily Roto.
Oof. That is, that's tough. Really a Paul DeYoung guy. I'd probably keep India.
He's been pretty good since the coming back up.
And hitting for power. I think I'm keeping India barely.
I mean, if you need the spot for this week, I mean, you just missed out on a Coors Field trip for the Cardinals. Cardinals have 6 games this week. Freeland, Marquez, Senzatella, Henry, Bumgarner, Kelly.
It's a pretty good hit. It's a pretty good hitting week, yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And the Reds have 6 games also. Philly and then at Pittsburgh, which India, seems pretty good.
India's been very disappointing, especially the hard contact. He's under 30%, under 4% barrel. He's just not hit well, but I just don't think he's been healthy all year. He's 21-12 last year. I think I'm still holding on to that, hoping you get maybe a spark here in the last 6 weeks. I think I'm going to India.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds play Monday, the Cardinals don't. So, I mean, it depends on like when you make your move too. Reds are typically one of the first teams to post a lineup. So look out for that. And maybe that makes that help guide you on your decision.
Good question from Anthony Gialdi in the chat. A guy that I was looking at, Juan Yepez, sounds like he's coming back early this week. Jeff, do you think he plays every day? They've been playing a lot of Lars Nootbaar since Yepez got hurt. Nolan Gorman's playing a lot of DH when they face righties with Paul DeYoung back. And, Edmund's been really bad, by the way. Edmund's been sneaky terrible since like the first 6 weeks of the season. Yeah. Do you think Yepez plays regularly? I kind of think it's like 4 out of 6 kind of thing, probably.
I think so, too. I mean, Pujols had the big bomb today.
Ball was crushed.
He was crushed. He's at 689 now. I mean, I don't think he gets to 700, but...
Wow, he's at 689. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a career.
It is. It is.
And I didn't even mention him. We got Tyler O'Neill in there, but Tyler O'Neill's been brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. Dylan Carlson's actually kind of coming around a little bit. Yeah. But
I like Dylan Carlson player. I think he's going to still work out. Tyler O'Neill has 6 home runs and 8 stolen bases. I know he's been hurt, but he still has 260 plate appearances. That is, he was 34-15 last year.
Yeah. It seems like this is the same as last year or the year before that or the year before that. But the Cardinals are a really good team despite getting like next to nothing from their outfield. It's really remarkable how bad their outfield is.
And how many of the outfielders end up being good on other places. Like, it's very strange. But tell you, I didn't. Tyler Neal was not a target for me. I was always worried about the strikeouts, but I did not see anything like this coming. I mean, six home runs. I thought he was a 25 home run floor guy.
Yeah, it was a regress to what guy? Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a, not going to go 34, 15, but like, he was going to hit 25 to 30 home runs for sure. Right? Exactly. Like that, I'm shocked by the power.
Yeah, me too.
Let's see. Other notes that we mentioned, Dustin May returning to start Saturday. We know that you want him to pitch Sunday, but it sounds like he's going to pitch Saturday. Ronald Acuna, we kind of talked about already, but he sat Sunday after some exiting early with knee soreness on Saturday. I would definitely check. That's a lineup that if you have Acuna, obviously you'll be checking and hitting refresh because they have they have seven games this week, and they do play tomorrow against the Mets. We mentioned Kyle Schwarber already. Brandon Lau sat the weekend with a sore shoulder. He'd been back with the Rays in the last month or so here. So another one to check the news on. Trevor Story is traveling with the team this week. I was a little surprised by he's going to take regular BP. Sounds like there was no news on activation, but maybe he's getting a little bit closer. He's with the team, traveling with them, taking some BP. Maybe he's a little bit closer than we thought, because I kind of thought earlier that he might be right in that drop territory, and I probably would have dropped him at the time. It sounds like he might be back sooner than we think.
Now, had we known when he got hurt that it was going to be this long, we probably would have dropped him. But now that you've come here, made it this far, and now he's traveling with the team, well, I don't know. You already talked about how crowded it is in Boston. That's just one other element, though.
Yeah, so that's – but it sounds like at least he's progressing on the right path. Lastly, Giancarlo Stanton nearing a rehab assignment. This one felt like it's been lingering for a long time without much news, but it sounds like maybe Stanton is finally getting to the point where he's going to play three or four rehab games and get back to New York.
Yeah, you got to figure he's pretty much full-time DH when he comes back, though, right?
I would think so. I don't think they bothered putting him in the outfield, right?
Yeah, how many games did he play the outfield this year?
That's a good question. If you want to talk about the meaning of life, I'll look that up real quick.
No, I'm looking it up already, so we'll see. But
he's got 38 games in the outfield.
Okay, so it's plenty.
Yeah, 38 in the outfield, 37 at DH.
I mean, that's why you go out and get Benintendi, so he doesn't ever have to play the outfield again.
And that actually reminded me, there was a later breaking news in New York with DJ LeMahieu, a guy that affects me. I have him in the main event, and he's first, second, third eligibility. Like, he's one of those guys that I'm like, oh, I always have LeMahieu so I can move someone around. I don't have to worry about it. But he's dealing with a right big toe injury. He sat out the game tonight against Boston. He's going to do some imaging back in New York tomorrow. You'd never like to hear that. That's what Aaron Boone said. So I'm worried there. LeMahieu was someone that I will admit I was not super fired up when I said his name out loud in the draft in Vegas. Kind of like, oh, he lasted this long. He's triple eligible. Maybe he won't hurt me. He's been really good. 280, 71 runs scored has been kind of as big thing as leading off in front of the Judge all year. But 381 OPS or OBP, sorry. He's been really good for them getting on base in front of Judge. 43 runs batted in, not bad from the leadoff spot. 12 homers, more than last year. He's had a sneaky pretty good year.
Yep, he has. And this is kind of, if you go in the Wayback Machine to when he signed with the Yankees, this is the type of season you expected out of him.
Yeah.
Pretty good batting average. He wasn't going to hit you figure, okay, he's out of Coors Field. He's not going to hit 300 again, but he'll hit close to that. He'll have some power. He won't kill you there. No, instead you had the happy fun ball years in New York, and we all forgot who DJ LeMahieu really is.
We got the 364 year in there. That was this COVID year. But I think it's just really solid. And in fantasy, eligible at three positions, hitting in front of Judge, strikes out under 13% of the time. Just he's a really good real world player for them, and mans a bunch of spots and getting on base at 380. I mean, that'll work no matter where you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the chat asked about Tyler Glasnow. I would not pick him up. I think if anything, he throws a few innings in the last couple of weeks. I don't think it's worth it fantasy-wise.
Correct.
Last guy I wanted to ask you about before we jump out of here, Brady Singer in Kansas City. We kind of talked about him. And the Dodgers had won a million games in a row. He comes in there, shuts them out. Six innings, one hit against the Dodgers, they've been scoring. They've been killing people, too. It's not like they've had a bunch of one runs. They've been scoring 8, 10, 12 runs, three walks, seven strikeouts. His last section of starts have just been really, really good. I know he had that four earned run start in there against the White Sox, but counting that, you go 0-1-4, 0-1-1. Like, that's 1-2-3. That's six starts where he's gone one run or fewer, one with four. Two of those had double-digit strikeouts. He has been really, really good the last 6 weeks. One of the best pitchers in baseball last 6 weeks.
Yeah, he finally, it's like the light turned on, and the Royals fail to screw him up. And good on him or them, maybe even 100 Ks in 98 innings. You like seeing that. He actually pitched 3 starts in AAA this year. I think that's kind of wild, though. But
I guess you're right. They just sent him back. That is wild to think about now.
But yeah, this is a definite breakout season for him. You like seeing it. This is what happens a lot of times, or at least felt like it happened all the time. That was the normal prospect progression. You get hit around for a little bit,
right?
Take your lumps, you learn from it and get better. You figure out how to finish off hitters. Yep. You know how to set them up. Learn which hitters you try to strike out, which hitters you try to get with weak contact, and go from there.
Yeah, and he got spoiled. His 2020, the COVID year, was pretty good. The whip was under 1.2, and the last year was just a disaster. And I kind of think they're like, oh, he's a bust. He's done. And he's clearly showing that that's not the case. I mean, the whip's 1.13. Like, that plays anywhere right there. ERA is, what, down to 3.29? Like, these numbers are fantastic.
Yeah. I guess there's some lessons here, too. I mean, and maybe it was like one of those, you squint, you could maybe see it. Even last year, like 22% strikeout rate's not too bad. Yep. Home run rate was less than a homer per 9 last year. I mean, he did have a pretty bad walk rate at 9%. It's down to 6 this year. He also had a 350 BABIP last year.
Yep.
Now that's your high whip right there. Now it's a normal 295.
And he's cut his walk rate from 9% to 5.5%. That's obviously huge for the whip also. It's been fun. He was the first round, he's the 18th overall pick. Someone that we were fired up about, and then he wasn't good, but it's been fun to see him really kind of dominate and take over. And today kind of put the cap on. I mean, you go 6 shut and he's one hit against the Dodgers. You're doing work.
Yeah.
Funny, you mentioned guys who, kind of big prospects who didn't do much. Brendan Rodgers has been good lately. He's in 381 the last 30 days, been really good for the Rockies. Someone that we think we kind of forgot about, and, he was just kind of okay, and then he was injured. He had 15 home runs last year, but he's at 290, 11 home runs, 58 runs scored, 56 RBIs. Didn't run at all, but hard hit rate's up to 45%. He's having a really nice year, cut his strikeout rate 4%. He's becoming the player that we kind of were hoping for, like in 2019 or whatever it was.
You know, even the bad organizations are going to have some flowers bloom.
Yeah.
And I like this. Like,
as much as they try and mess it up along the way. Yeah.
Singer, Rodgers, I think you had Reed Detmers on the list. That's a guy that, has turned it around. It's been a whole malaise of a season for the Angels, but Renjifo's had a good little year. Detmers has had a good little year. Good things can still happen on bad teams.
Yeah, you look at Detmers since he's been back, 9-7, 12, 6, 6, and 7 strikeouts. Like, that is the key. He's striking guys out every time out. There's no, every once in a while he'd have that. He threw a no-hitter earlier this year before he got set down. Like, he had some good starts, but he had nothing over 6 strikeouts from April to June. Nothing. Not one start over 6 strikeouts. He has 1, 2, 3, 4 of those already, and 2 others with 6 since he's been back. I mean, he clearly rediscovered that slider. He's a different guy, and it's nice to see that he went back down, worked on his stuff. It was like only a couple of weeks, came back up, and he's clearly a different guy right now.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, when we drafted him, we expected him to have strikeouts.
We did. So,
we also expected Patrick Sandoval to have a good year, and that hasn't really worked out the same way. But
it is not. The Angels are, they almost had the play of the year last night with Sierra almost scoring the inside the park 3-run walk-off. It was kind of a shame. Carlos Correa has a cannon still, by the way.
Yes, he does.
That relay throw from the outfield was nasty. I know everybody's looking at, like, why is Nick Gordon diving for that with a guy on first as the tying run and all that? But
Carlos. Yeah, that was a really bad play. That was really awful.
You're like, you make the play, the game's over, but like, you can't let the ball behind you no matter what with a guy on first as a tying run. Like, that is
right.
If the guy's on third, yeah, sure, go for it. Does it matter or not? But oof. But Correa, man, that throw is just out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Him and O'Neill Cruz, my God, O'Neill Cruz can just freaking
throw. Not the best throw I've ever seen from that side of the field in Anaheim Stadium, but
is that Ramon Laureano? I hope.
No, it was Yoenis Cespedes.
Oh, yeah. Laureano had the one where he caught the ball in left center and then doubled the guy at first too. That was an unreal play.
Yeah, but the Cespedes one was the best throw, one of the top 5 throws I've ever seen.
Yeah, Howie Kendrick at home, just like, what the heck just happened? It's an amazing play. And like, he bobbles it, and he kind of looks up, he's like, oh, you're running on me? And just boom, that was an awesome play. Yeah, the A's have had some good throwing moments in Anaheim for sure.
Yeah.
So cool. Anybody else you want to talk about, Jeff? I feel like we've kind of hit everybody. We hit all the deep fab stuff, all the Tatis stuff. I feel like we hit it all. But is there anything else on your mind you feel like discussing?
No, I just can't wait. I just want to see more baseball. I mean,
I do too.
In contention is fun.
It really is a little stressful, Jeff. It's a little when things go bad, it's a bad feeling at night. I try and not let it affect me, but oh, you look up and it's like 3 for 31, it hurts. But yeah, it's fun to be in contention. Both my teams are in contention in their league, you know, a little bit overall too. So it's going to be a fun last 7.5 weeks here. And I wouldn't want it any other way. It'll be a little stressful, but this is what we play for. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to talking with you about it the rest of the way here. We're both, we both have teams in the top, what are you, top 25, I think, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we both have teams doing really well. It's going to be really, really fun. It's gonna be, we haven't had a season where both of us were up there. So it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of break it down each week.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I'll be sweating every misstepped starter in cores and all that. And, you know, and still live to tell the tale. So that's the fun part.
You and me both. I agonized on Friday afternoon about AJ Pollock and someone. I forget who it was. But AJ Pollock, and he had 2 home runs this weekend. And it's because Robert got hurt, so he played all 3 games. I was just so disgusted by the whole thing.
Oh, I know. It's gross.
It is. You're like, oh, it's 2 home runs. I'm never going to get back. Like, I wonder what that would do to my standings. You just can't think that way, but it's
there was a night I had 3 wins on my bench. I'm like,
that's hard to do.
I know, it's like awful. But then I looked at it, I was like, I would have made that. I looked at the players I had active. It's like, well,
at some point, you make your calls on Monday and Friday, and you realize you made them for a reason. You're going to get some wrong, but you just hope you get more right than wrong. And that's how you get there. But it sure hurts when you get them wrong.
Yep, that's right.
So, well, thanks everybody for listening. We always appreciate it. If you're either listening live here or on the audio version, we always appreciate that. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead. We will be back at you next Sunday night talking more baseball. We look forward to that. Good luck this week to everybody, and take care.